Hey folks, in this episode, I'm talking to my friend Craig Colvin. We're going to be talking about how to get out of a creative rut.
This is TWIP.
Hey, welcome back to This Week in Photo. I am your host, Frederick Van Johnson. Today I'm sitting down with Craig Colvin. He is a guy that likes to shoot photos of all kinds of subjects. We're going to talk about the subjects he shoots, but we're also going to talk about the creative rut that he finds himself in right now, that many of us find ourselves in from time to time. How do you manage that? How do you mitigate it? How do you get out of that rut? And Craig has some ideas on how to do that. Craig Colvin, man, Hi. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing great. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Yeah. Where you been? Running the planet, right?
I've been all over. Palm Springs Photo Festival, traveling the globe, went to Shanghai for a while. It seems like I've only been home, a week a month since the beginning of the year.
Oh, I love it. Well, that's the way it should be, right?
You might as well.
Why stay home? You can be there anytime. It's a big planet.
Well, apparently. No, I'm actually looking forward to being home for a little while here.
I bet. Yeah. So creativity-wise, you do a lot of photography. I sort of alluded to you shooting a lot, and you shoot, like a couple of months ago, a year ago, you were shooting a lot. In fact, you gave yourself a self project where you had a self-imposed cadence of shots that you needed to get done, right?
Yep, right.
So before we dive into the rut stuff, tell me about that. Tell me about that self-imposed sort of cadence and what your genre of photography is.
All right. So we'll start with the genre. I mainly do fine art nudes. I do it in outdoor locations and underwater. Those are my two kind of specialties. But I do studio as well. And I'm basically trying to, it's very artistic. I'm trying to show the human form and how it blends into nature, and that sort of thing. So, I've been doing that for 8-9 years now.
Yeah. And you love it, right?
I love it. Yeah. I am happiest when my finger's on the shutter button and I have a model, in a rock.
Yeah, that's right. And you and I shot together in Las Vegas once.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Valley of Fire. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was, yeah, it's good. It's interesting to see you work and how you interact with models and how you go for the shot that's in your mind's eye. You put all that stuff together. And then you do all your own post-processing as well, right?
Right. Yep. And that's where I turn it in from a photograph into art, what my vision is.
How do you come up with that? Before we transition to the rut stuff, looking at some of your work, which we'll put in the blog post for this episode, but looking at some of your work, it's insanely creative. You got repeating patterns, you've got bodyscapes, all kinds of stuff in there. Where do these ideas come from?
So the ideas, they come from a lot of areas. I get a lot just watching TV. A commercial will come on and it'll have some interesting lighting or interesting pattern. And I'll just take my phone out and do a screen capture of it. And I have notebooks that I have by my computer, by my TV, in my car. And whenever an idea happens, I write it down. And if I don't do that, it's gone forever, typically. I need to capture it in within 10 minutes of when I think of it. Long car drives are great for that. I think of so many creative ideas when I'm driving, just because my mind can wander a little bit.
Yeah, or when you're not driving, as we talked about before we started.
Exactly. Letting my car do the driving.
Yeah.
I also, listening to music, sometimes song lyrics will trigger some idea or concept.
Yeah.
How do you go from that? Different inputs. I go to any art museum I can go to, whether it's, paintings or abstract or whatever. I go and I will often get an idea from that. So you got to fill the creative pipeline and let it just kind of roll around in your head for a little while.
And how do you go from that, from snapping that photo of the screen or wherever the epiphany comes from? How do you go from that to hiring the model, taking the model to a specific location, getting assistance, shooting, because it's not just, I had an epiphany of, this thing. How do you make it happen?
Well, so that's where the hard work comes in. I believe that my best photos I've ever taken are the ones that took the most effort.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that's because I'm doing all this upfront planning and, I'm thinking more about the concept than just being at a location and grabbing a shot.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of thought that goes into it. So I'll sometimes spend a month collecting props, if I need them, finding the location, doing scouting. And then, when I get the model and we actually, go to do the shot, that's the easy part. Mm-hmm. It's been in my head for, weeks.
And it's just a matter of executing that shot, right?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I've never had one that was exactly what's in my mind. But you get real close. The more effort I put into it, the closer they get.
So let's talk about that rut thing, right?
Okay.
And being stuck in a rut. We've all been there where my question for you is, you put yourself on that cadence of shooting a lot, making sure you shot a lot to keep your trigger finger exercise and your brain fresh on this stuff and lighting. Did you burn out? Was that what happened, or did you just run out of ideas? Like what happened?
I think it was a little of both. Yeah. I was shooting a whole lot, especially underwater stuff, because I need to shoot that when it's warm out. And I was doing 8 to 10 shoots a week.
Mm-hmm.
Underwater.
That's a lot.
It's a lot, yeah. Right? And so I got a little burned out on that. But a lot of it is, I tend to work with themes in my projects. I have my bodyscape themes. I have my the nudes in the rock theme. I have my black and white stripe themed. And whenever I get to the end of one of those, I kind of, I've reached the limit of what I can do with it. I always go, all right, where do I go next with this? Where do I push it? And I've gotten to the point where I can't think of what that next step is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of stops me. The other issue I've had is my plans, my visions have gotten a lot more grandiose.
Aggressive.
Yeah. So like I said, my best photos are the one I put in the most effort, right? Yeah. That were hard. And so I said, well, I want to make some more great photos, but they're turning into like almost mini movie productions.
Oh, wow.
And that's daunting, and it paralyzes me. So, so I have it. That kind of happened in October, I think.
Wow.
Was when the rut started.
Yeah.
I didn't shoot at all from October till February.
Oh, wow.
Which is, longest period I've ever gone. Hmm. And then I've started slowly getting back to it and trying not to just do some simple shoots instead of the big grandiose things.
Yeah. What kind of simple shoots are you looking at?
Well, just taking a model out, to the beach or, mm-hmm. There's local, Mount Diablo here in the Bay Area.
Yep.
Has some great, places to shoot in the rocks. So I've been doing that sort of thing. And then just some simple underwater stuff just here and there, one a week at most.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So you're slowly making your way out of the rut. You're not still in the rut, or do you feel like you're still in it and you're still kind of in no man's land?
I'm still a little bit in the, I don't know what series to work on next.
Mm-hmm.
I have some in some ideas for some one-off shots, which I am working on. The travel hasn't helped with that.
Yeah.
I'm not around enough to do that. The other issue that kind of also triggered all this is I lost my studio.
What happened? How did that happen?
Well, the rents here in Bay Area just got too expensive.
Yeah.
I was sharing it with several other photographers and they both quit. So I had to, I couldn't afford it on my own.
Yeah.
And so that's also kind of slowed me down because a lot of the ideas I have are studio shoots.
Yeah.
So that just adds, I have to go find a studio to rent. I have to lug all my equipment down. Last time I did that, I think I had 15 boxes worth of stuff I had to schlep into the studio. Right?
That does not sound fun at all.
So it makes me, hesitant to do it again.
Yeah. I can see how that would get in the way. But yeah, it's interesting. You know, things shift. You get into this pattern of, like you're saying, you have the studio, you have a concept, and you know what the process is to execute on that photo. That pattern gets interrupted, i.e. the studio is no longer in the mix, and you got to refigure that out. Then you got travel on top of it and family and all this other stuff going on.
Life gets in the way, right?
Yeah, life gets in the way. Yeah. So I'm just wondering, how do you people that are watching this that are in that rut, is it just baby steps? Like, what's the best way to get out of it?
Well, so in the past, I've had this in the past. You know, every year I have, some period of time where I'm in a rut, a creative rut. Yeah. And a lot of it is to get out of it. I go through these notebooks that I have, right? And I have lots of great ideas, and I just, whichever one, what I do, I'll go through the notebook and I'll wait a week. And whichever ones I still remember from that, those are the ones I'm going to go shoot because they stuck with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I try to do the little simple, small ones. Yeah. To start. It's most creative ruts, the way I get out of them is shooting my way out of them.
Yeah.
Just going and shooting and not trying to do any grandiose, just shoot for fun.
Trick yourself. A lot of people were saying, or not a lot of people, I was reading this book. I think it was a book. It was some sort of media I was consuming, but it was talking about how to.
I've heard of those book things.
Right. Yeah. They used to make them. I don't know. But they were talking about how you can overcome procrastination, because that plagues a lot of us, and I think that directly relates to being in a creative rut, the procrastination piece of it, or I'll do it later, or, I don't feel like doing it or whatever. But one of their tips was to trick your brain by doing a little bit, by saying, hey, I'm only, like, it's like the garage. You need to clean up your garage.
And
you
don't do 5 minutes.
You don't feel like doing it. So you give yourself a small manageable task. Like, you know what? I'm not going to do this whole garage today, but that shelf, I'm going to do that shelf.
Right.
But then the trick comes in is psychologically, your brain wants to do it all. So once you get your brain, you trick your brain into doing a little bit, it's going to want to do more. Same with creativity, right? Once you trick, you're tricking your brain by saying, hey, I'm just going to do these smaller projects and then those will expand. And I know you personally.
Yes. Right.
They'll expand. And then pretty soon, you're shooting Cirque du Soleil or something, right?
Right. So, right. It is a trick. It's, I'm going to these shoots with no expectations. And then while I'm there, the creative juices start flowing and I go, that's where I come up with the idea of, all right, here's the direction I'm going to go next.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's exciting. So where, if it's a curve, right, the whole creative rut thing is a curve, and, down here at the bottom of the curve is like, I don't ever want to see a camera again. I don't care. I'm going to take up golf or building ships in the bottle or whatever.
Right.
Where up here is ultimate creativity. You're just nailing it. And, where are you on that curve?
I am. The bottom was in February. So I'm climbing up that curve. I'm probably about halfway up right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I'm hoping with, after I finish, I have a couple more trips to do, and then I'm back for a couple months.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that's really when I'm gonna, I'll be back at the peak.
But see, that's interesting you say that, because, for a lot of people to break out of ruts is like, we say, I said the whole tricking your brain thing, but a lot of people will say, to get out of a creative rut, it takes travel. Get yourself out of your current rut routine, and that sparks the creative juices, gets things going, you get ideas, and now you're back,
Right.
But not for you, because you're traveling all the time.
Well, mainly because I shoot nude models, and I don't do that when I'm traveling. So I do street photography, I do, abstract architecture photography, and I do enjoy that when I travel, and I do a lot of that. And that does help, just because I'm shooting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anytime, as I said, anytime my finger's on the shutter button, right? It's a good thing.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not focusing on, you know, the genre that I like.
Yeah.
And really where I really want to be creative and have, you know, have all of my ideas.
Have you ever considered experimenting? I know you said you do street photography from time to time and all that, but have you ever considered diving in deeply like you are with the nude photography into another genre, a completely different genre?
Well, I kind of did that with the underwater. I discovered that in, you know, it was about a year and a half ago, not 2 years ago now. And, I did the first one and then I was, that's all I was shooting was underwater. So that was kind of a, you know, but it did involve models and it did involve, right. I could still kind of use my same genre.
Yeah.
Just a different venue. So, I like working with people. So I don't know if just doing street photography or, you know, travel or, you know,
landscape or
wildlife. I don't have the patience for wildlife. I know that. And I like sleeping in, so landscape's kind of tough.
Well, there's always magic hour, right?
So yeah, right.
It happens twice a day. So
I always think of doing landscape photography in June. When, you know, the longest days of the year. So you have to get up at 3 a.m. to go get sunrise, and then you're up, you know, till 10 o'clock at night doing sunset.
Right.
And, very little sleeping in between.
Very cool. Well, you are, I know you are on the docket for F64 Live that's coming up,
yep,
right? You're
going to
be teaching down
there.
Give us a sneak peek into what your workshop's going to be on.
Well, I still need to come up with that.
You're still building that? You're like up at your spot?
No. So one of them is going to be my Lighting the Human Form, which I have the video, training video on TWIP.
Yep.
TWIP School. And so I'll be doing that as one of the sessions indoors.
Excellent.
And then the other one, I'm leaning towards doing an outdoor session and, you know, photographing in harsh conditions.
Well, I love it. I love it. Yeah, I'll be auditing your class, just so you know.
Oh, okay, good.
So,
what do you mean auditing? You have to pay up.
I'm one of the organizers, but I can still audit. I'm just saying.
No worries.
What about the, a lot of talk has been happening, you know, over the last, let's say 3 years, let's call it, about gear and different kinds of gear and DSLRs versus mirrorless. And now Fuji just launched the GFX 100 as a 100 megapixel camera that everyone's lusting after. And, you know, all these different things. What does Craig Colvin shoot with? Like, what is your go-to camera kit to make those amazing images that we see in the portfolio?
So I shoot with three different cameras. For my the model photography outdoors and studio, I'm using a Canon 5D Mark III.
Yeah.
And the underwater is a Canon 5D Mark II. And the only reason for that is because I was able to get a housing for a Canon 5D Mark II really cheap.
So you're cheap. You're just saying you're cheap, right?
I'm cheap. Otherwise, the housing for my Mark III costs more than the camera does.
Right? Wow.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then for all my travel photography, I'm using an Olympus EM1.
Oh, Micro Four Thirds.
Yep. Yeah. So, I love the lightweightness of it. And so that's what I'm using whenever I'm doing my traveling.
So, like I said at the beginning, there's going to be a gallery. Obviously, if you're watching this on YouTube, then there'll be a link in the description over to Craig's portfolio or the blog post, whatever. But in the blog post, I have a bunch of your photos in there and a link to your website. Where should people go if they want to start learning? It's a twofold question, double-edged sword here. If they want to learn about you and the stuff that you're working on, but then they want to start doing the kind of photography and experimenting with the kind of photography that you do. Because not many people can do artistic nude photography without coming off as a creep or, you know, disingenuous in some way, especially in these days, right? So what's the best way for people that are interested but afraid to get hashtag me too'd?
Right.
How do they dive into it?
The probably the best way are to find meetups in your local area. There are ones that do, you know, nude photography, fine art nudes, and some of them are very, very good, you know, do very good lighting. Some are not so good. So you need to try them out.
Right.
I have been doing, for the past year now, some private lessons for people. So that's an option.
Just
contact me and I can, help you with that. So
that seems like a really good option, to be honest with you. So to do like the one-on-one, so the student, you as the instructor, and then a model, maybe a makeup artist or whatever, but you have that small team with you acting as sensei and taking the person through the ropes.
Right.
I think kind of photography, I think I would go for that more than being in a group environment.
Well, you're going to learn a whole lot by doing that. And I will travel to Utah or Las Vegas or here in the Bay Area for that sort of thing. I've also done it online where they, you know, just direct them on how to hire a model. And then, I've actually FaceTime while they're shooting.
Oh, nice. You're virtual there like Obi-Wan. Right.
use the focus.
Yeah. Exactly. Use the focus, Luke.
So, you know, there's a lot of different options, and I kind of cater it to whatever. Yeah, everyone's not necessarily local.
Yeah.
I keep hoping. I've tried on a couple of my travels. I've had people in the location where I'm going, but the timing just hasn't worked out. Right. I'm only there for a short period of time. So those are various options.
Love it. And if people want to do that and sign up for a one-on-one sort of training session with you, either virtually or in person, contact information on your website? Where's your website?
CraigColvinPhotography.com.
Cool.
That's Colvin, C-O-L-V-I-N. And also on Instagram, Craig Colvin Photo. That's where I post most of my work. I tend to post quite regularly there, more so than the website gets updated. And you can private message me there, direct message me.
Excellent. Excellent. You're accessible, right?
I'm accessible. That's right.
Yeah. And speaking of accessibility,
I love helping people with photography. I mean, I enjoy the teaching portion of it a lot.
And you learn so much when you're teaching, right? It's weird. Presentations, if I do the same presentation 15 times, every time I learn something different about the subject matter that I'm teaching.
It's so right. How does that work?
I don't know. If you really want to learn a topic, teach it to someone and you'll internalize it, because they'll ask questions that you may not be able to answer and you'll have to fill in that blank for the next time you're teaching it.
That's right.
Cool. All right, Craig Colvin, thank you so much for coming on, man. You some beers. So you and I,
at least
three or four to start. Yeah. So we live relatively close together, but you've been on the road and I've been busy. So we'll make it happen.
Let's do that.
All right. Cool. Craig Colvin, CraigColvin.com, right, is the website?
Yes.
All right, man. Take care. You have a good rest of your day.
You too. Thanks.
All right. Peace.
This is Twitter.